Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, so much attention, you know, by the people we talk to and just in general for investors gets focused on the stock market.
I think every major media channel, when it comes to business news, will highlight the stock market and what's happening. And then somewhere, usually after the price of commodities, they talk about what the interest rate is for government bonds, let's say in the U.S. or Canada.
Right.
And they kind of glaze over it. They get, I think, on some of the major channels in U.S. and Canada, they get like maybe a minute to speak about bonds. And it's all about the companies and stocks.
Right.
So this is your wheelhouse, buddy. This is your fun part.
You know, I don't think people understand just the sheer size of the you know, of the bond market. I like to say that the stock market can take companies down and the bond market can take countries down, right? This is, it's massive. And part of what we have to do is educate people. And part of most people's portfolio involves some sort of fixed income. And there's a lot of questions around what's happening in that market and interest rates and so on and so forth, right? So we've got a terrific guest today. Jack McIntyre is a portfolio manager, Global Bond Strategies with Brandywine. He's going to help us understand a little bit about what's happening domestically, but internationally, and what happened in the pandemic. What, you know, and should bonds be a part of your portfolio going forward?
With such low interest rates.
Given that interest rates are so low.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks, guys.
All right. So you kind of heard our intro. There's lots to cover off here. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, we've got a couple of, you know, a couple of segments to do this with you. But I would like to maybe start by just getting your take, take you back to the beginning of the year when the pandemic hit. Certainly, most investors are familiar with what happened and the volatility we saw in the stock markets. But maybe just give us a little bit of a sense of what was going on in the bond markets, you know, going into the pandemic and then how they were kind of roiled by everything that was going on.
Yeah, sure. And just to reiterate your point, the bond market is the smarter of the two markets. So your listeners should always focus a little bit on what's going on bonds, because as a member of the bond vigilantes, we in aggregate, we can send key messages to policymakers. So, obviously it's been a challenging and fascinating year. You know, coming into this year, boy, the world looked a lot different. I mean, you know, U.S. and China were starting to get along on the trade front. You know, we already had low inflation and monetary policy being stimulative. So, you know, the handwriting was on the wall. It should have been a pretty good growth, a pretty good environment for global growth. And, you know, we all got sort of smacked in the face with the COVID. And, you know, having done this for 30 plus years, you know, you always have to make some level of assumptions when you're an investor. And, you know, we made not the right one, because we kind of thought COVID would, you know, would be maybe a little bit more something comparable to the flu, and it wasn't. And we had this tremendous reaction in terms of containment, mitigation globally, and the policies. And again, I'm not criticizing it. It is what it is, but it took us into a global depression. And it happened incredibly quickly. So there really wasn't time to react. And, you know, you talk about some of those government bond markets. Well, some of them became dysfunctional. I mean, to me, one of the weirdest parts of this was back in March when U.S. Treasuries, which, you know, you're sort of cream of the crop in terms of safe haven bond markets, stopped working. You know, they started selling off when risk assets in general were selling off too. So that's not the kind of thing that you see. But equally as impressive to what happened with the virus was the policy response. And I will tip my hat to the policymakers, the fiscal authorities, the central bankers. They stepped up en masse, and everybody, and you'll hear me mention this more than once, but everybody adopted the mantra that Draghi used in July of 2013, we'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And they have acted on that so far. Except in the U.S., we have a little bit of an issue on the with the fiscal stimulus, but we can discuss that later.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jack, was that because of a learning because of the 2008 financial crisis that we went through, and they said we're not going to freeze the markets? I think what's missing out there in the public is the piping of the financial system during the COVID crash was frozen to some degree, was it not?
It was, you know, it was for a short period of time. But again, you know, and again, the central banks, and I'll just kind of focus on the Fed for a second. you know, it's interesting. They all, when I say, they all adopted very quickly the policies that they did in the GFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then they layered on top of that even more unorthodox sort of policies. I mean, hey, the Fed stepping in and backstopping investment-grade corporate bonds and doing it very quickly. You know, it allowed the plumbing to become unplugged and start functioning a little bit more normally.
Now, Jack,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah. As a global bond manager, and you're looking at everything that's happening in the world during the pandemic, and let's even look at it right now. Where do you see the world headed? Because I think you've nailed it when you said the smart people play in the bond market. They really understand what's going to happen, and it can affect or impact policy mm-hmm. changes either fiscally and or monetarily speaking. So where do you see what's happening right now? Because the stock market has gone all over the place, and some companies are priced for perfection. What's mm-hmm. really happening in the bond market today?
So I've been a big believer in secular disinflationary influences. This is why the yields were low even prior to the pandemic, and I think they're going to stay low within reason. So, you know, you can kind of distill what's going on as this war. It's the pandemic versus the policymakers. And, you know, we're going to bet on the policymakers sort of eventually winning that. And I would include in the policymakers the medical community. So, you know, we've thrown a lot of resources to help us get through the pandemic. It's going to be a bumpy ride, clearly, because in the Northern Hemisphere, we're entering and, we're getting close to winter. And clearly there's an inverse relationship as temperatures decline, infection rates increase. So, so I'm not going to ignore that. But, you know, we've seen that during other periods in the summer, yet the policymakers reacted. So we're betting on the policymakers. You know, we're again, in the U.S., unfortunately, you know, the timing, we've got the election. So that kind of clouds the willingness of these guys to get along and do something. I think early next year, no matter who wins, you know, you're going to see movement towards more stimulus. And again, the idea here is that we're just building a bridge to get over the negative economic impact from the virus. So, yeah, so bonds, again, and again, obviously it's not a homogeneous asset class. There's all different flavors mm-hmm. of bonds. I actually think that capital, and we know there is a huge amount of capital, and we also know central bankers are punishing savers, that there will be a bias towards the search for yield and the reach for yield. And there's a lot of ways to get that. But I think that ultimately will be the dominant sort of mentality we see at some point next year.
Okay, that's a good place maybe to take a break, because we're after the break, Faisal. I want to talk about the fact that low interest rates scare people, and this yield issue, particularly people in retirement, if I need income. Are bonds still an important piece of the portfolio? We're going to talk about that after the break. But before we take a break, we got to remind everybody about our upcoming seminar, because we have to make sense of all of these different asset classes we have available to us and put it together in a combination that actually supports all the different goals and needs that a person has as they move into retirement, including income.
It's funny how you say that, because most Canadians feel that there are two, maybe three asset classes: stocks, cash, some are in the bond market as
right.
well. But there's five pillars to a proper investment strategy
right.
to have growth throughout your retirement. And we're going to talk about those five pillars and how they all work together. And that's going to be online on Tuesday, November 17th, 7 p.m. Now, you need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. Now, if you're worried that low interest rates are going to destroy your retirement, stick around after the break, because we're going to discuss how to avoid that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.